In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
And Pendergast with today's headlines.
9 seconds to play. The Texans trying to put this one on ice. Turpin, slot left. Second and 10 inside the Houston 27. Cooper Rush, shotgun. Handoff, Deuce Vaughn up the middle. Brought down inside the 20-yard line. Phillips and Hansen. And 2 seconds left. That's it. Game over. The Houston Texans blow out the Dallas Cowboys on the road. 34-10, they snap their two-game slide and build their record to 7-4 with the Titans at NRG Stadium up next.
Yeah, 7-4, Titans coming to town on Sunday, Jags after that, and then finally a week 14 bye week for the Texans. That's what it looks like over the next couple weeks, how it looked last night. Close game at the half. Cowboys got the ball to start the second half, and then the Texans defense went to work in the second half. In this game, they beat the Cowboys 34-10. They get off the schneid of their second half scoring set. For a while, it looked like it was going to be the defense that got them off the schneid. But the offense did get the ball in the end zone towards the end of this game. That was nice to see. 34-10, the final score. The Texans beat the Cowboys.
I feel like there were way too many people that were way too eager to point out that it was a defensive touchdown in the second half. Like, I felt like it was the obvious thing that I feel like every Texans fan knew. Everybody knew the problem wasn't that the Texans team wasn't scoring touchdowns in the second half. It's that the offense isn't scoring. You need the offense to score touchdowns. But a lot of people were none too happy to jump out. Like, hey, everybody, that wasn't an offensive touchdown.
Right.
Thanks.
Right.
Thanks. I'm very aware of that.
Thanks for the well, actually, guy. Yeah, appreciate you.
Yeah, we'd have to wait until they were going to get that second half touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen a team more committed to getting done what needs to be done in a situation where didn't actually really have to score a touchdown.
Yeah, dude.
If they hadn't gone for it on fourth down on that series, even with a healthy lead, I would have been angry. Like, no, at this point, you've got to get this bad juju out of your system, man.
Here's D'Amico Ryans after the game, Texans head coach. How good did it feel to come back into a winning locker room again?
Man, it's an awesome feeling, right? It's hard to win in this league. No matter who you're playing, it's hard to win, right? And, you know, it was a great feeling coming in, knowing we had it out there, and just seeing our guys, seeing a different bounce in their step, seeing a different look in their eye all week. Like, I just want our guys to remain focused, remain locked in, and locked in on the task at hand each and every week. And if we do that, we're a really good football team, right? And that's something we knew last week. We're a good football team. We can play with anybody. It's just about finishing.
Yeah, I tell you, like, just at its very basic core, Seth, as somebody who's sitting in a studio right now that has ESPN on the TV in here, and we've gone through three of these now, these nationally televised primetime games. When you're part of the nationally televised primetime game, if it is a relevant game, you will be you'll be part of the topic the next day. And it's not like they've played world beaters in all three of these games, but all three of these games have involved relevant football teams. The Jets, because of just the disaster they had been, and they fired their coach.
Yeah.
The Lions, because they're so good. And then the Cowboys, for similar reasons to the Jets. And so the Texans, for the last two games, have been on the wrong side of the story. It is nice to go look up at the TV screen in here and see Nico Collins on a catch and run that counted. You know, not the one that didn't count. You know, to see Joe Mixon getting into the end zone a few times. To see the people on the national broadcast debating whether or not this is a Texans team that can compete with some of the tippy-top upper. I don't know what the answer is to that question. I think the answer is no right now if they were to play in a playoff game in Kansas City or something, but it's just nice to be on the right side of it.
Well, I'll tell you honestly, the biggest thing that I think that people have noticed in watching the Texans over the last 3 weeks is that there are a lot of people that will say in the pregames, on the halftime commentary, Troy Aikman last night, CJ just hasn't been himself accuracy-wise. Yeah. Like, there's two different buckets I kind of put into. There's some things where CJ has had a hard time operating because of the circumstances around him. But we've just seen too many instances now of throws that CJ used to make very simple. Like, hard throws that he would make look routine, but that he's misfiring on now. And it's really hard for me to look at that part of it and not wonder whether it's his hand injury or whatever. With, you know, quarterbacks are always injured all the time. It's just strange that a guy would be as accurate as he is, that has had as many misfires as he has had these last few weeks on some of the simple stuff. And, I mean, is anybody going to be surprised if he is banged up? He's been hit more than anybody else in the league.
Well, he was banged. I mean, he played with a shoulder all last year that didn't show up on the injury report for most of the year. And I think, like, I don't know that there's a lot of people that know that CJ was on the injury report this week with a right hand injury, you know, because this week was all pushed back a day. By the time the second injury report's rolling around, everybody's off doing their stuff for the weekend. He was on the injury report with a right hand injury this past week.
And
he looked like someone at times who was throwing with a right hand injury last night.
Yeah, the QB injuries, it's always dicey because they're always injured anyway. Sure. So you never know exactly how serious it is or anything. And that, there's a lot of things that if there's like quarterbacks are going to play through a lot of injuries. So like they're not on the injury report sometimes because there's no chance of them missing with that injury. But I don't know. You know, because I can identify the times where CJ might be feeling like hurried, or he might not be trusting the pass protection, or whatever it might be. But there's also other times where, man, this is pitch and catch. This is something that CJ usually makes it look like it's no big deal, and he's misfiring on him. That's concerning to me.
Yep, it should be.
It also leads to sometimes, like last week, on just not wanting to pull the trigger on Tank. You know, that little bit of hesitancy, it can seep into a quarterback's mind when they're injured.
Do you have a long-term concern about CJ, or do you feel more like this is a short-term thing?
Oh, no, that would be just, that's a short-term, he's banged up. Yeah, it's not like, we already know that he's tough enough to, you know, play through the physical part of it, but sometimes if your body's not working right, your body's not working right.
Yep, Texans move to 7-4 on the season. They stay two games ahead of the Colts with the tiebreaker over the Colts. If the Texans take care of their business, this nets it all out right here for you. If the Texans take care of their business with their three division games remaining, two Titan games and a Jaguar game, the Colts would need to win out to win the division. So the Texans, they were 92% to make the playoffs yesterday. I'm guessing they're like 96% now to make the playoffs after last night is my guess, probably, right?
I think I'm still kind of freaked out by our listener who asked me before the pregame yesterday if I thought the Texans had it in them to eke out at least three more wins.
It's one person, Seth. It's one guy.
I know, but I want to get into his psychology because I do feel like I think sometimes if you don't really take in the league at large, you sometimes forget just how bad some teams are.
Of course.
And I think because people are rattled by that loss to the Jets, that's just – You got to step back sometimes and maybe just, you know, watch Red Zone or something.
Yeah.
Take in SportsCenter for old time's sake.
Just
get a feel about just the rest of the league. Yeah, the Texans have been disappointing in a lot of ways, but they're by no means a bad football team.
No.
They're a frustrating football team.
Frustrating at times, for sure. 97%, by the way, according to playoffstatus.com, the Texans' chances of playing in the postseason this year. The Rockets, I've not checked their chances, but they... I would say they're pretty good, at least early on in the season here. Unfortunately, last night did not go as planned. Their five-game winning streak is over. I think you guys know, we're admitting, at least I am, that I didn't see a minute of this game last night because we were covering the Texans. But my sons watched it, and they texted me at a random time during the Texans game, like, oh, it's a heartbreaking loss for the Rockets. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. The Rockets lose 101-100 in Milwaukee to a Bucks team that is off to a really slow start this year by anybody's standards. They're 5-9. The Rockets still 10-5. A Damian Lillard layup with 3 seconds to go in the game provides the winning margin last night for the Bucks.
Fewest points of the season for the Rockets.
Mm.
They were after they had that was the second highest scoring game in the NBA so far this season. The night before at Chicago,
143 when they put up a buck 43. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Look, it's nothing. It's nice to have a loss like this and be like, oh yeah, you know what? I don't have the doubts about the Rockets that I do about the Texans.
Which is
right
weird
this
to say.
Moment. Yeah. It's very early, everybody. But my goodness,
I'm just looking at the box score.
A machine.
I'm looking at the box score and I'm like, oh, I would have been frustrated watching this game. Fred VanVleet chunking up 11 threes, making three of them. Jalen Green 9 of 24 from the field. Oh yeah. It was a good thing I was watching the Texans last night and not this Rockets game. I would have been very frustrated. New name unveiled for Minute Maid Park. All your memories are gone, people, from Minute Maid Park. They're erased. No. It is now Daikin Park. Yes, sorry. It's a new name for the park. There were some people reacting yesterday like they're changing the name of the park, but all my memories are of Minute Maid Park. It's the same stadium. It's just more money now.
God bless advertising, though, too, because, no, honestly, like Staples. Look at the Staples Center. It makes sense.
Yeah.
People are attached to that name.
Yeah.
They associate all of their fondest childhood memories with Staples. It's brilliant. You wonder. I always doubted whether naming rights were worth it or not. Once I saw how up in arms people were in L.A. about Staples Center, it's worth every cent. Yep. No, everybody for generations will be buying their fax machines and copy paper at Staples.
Indeed.
Because of their memories, yes.
Laker fans for sure, yep.
That'll be like the last Blockbuster. There'll be one Staples remaining, and it's definitely going to be in L.A.
A line of purple-clad people out the door buying staplers and paper clips. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Tuesday, a victorious one, a special Reaction Monday on a Tuesday here on Sports Radio 610. Up next, we'll get Ross Tucker's thoughts on the Texans. He, like the rest of the world, has now seen the Texans in these three primetime games, particularly last night. We'll get his thoughts on where the Texans are at as they head into the back third of the season. Our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, joins us next.